Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. Happy Father's Day. Thank you for inviting us back. It's nice to see little ones in the service today. The text for my message is found in John chapter 17, if you'd like to turn to it, if you have your Bibles. John 17, we're going to be looking at verses 20 through 26. This is actually the second part of a two-part prayer that Jesus prayed for us, for you and for me. And Jesus is praying to the Father here in John 17, and he says, starting in verse 20, I do not ask for these only, speaking of his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name and will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Specifically, Jesus prays in verse 21, let them all be one, let them be in union with us. In verse 22, the glory you gave me, I gave them, that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 23, that they may be made perfect in one. Verse 24, that they may be with me where I am and they may behold my glory. Verse 26, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. And verse 23, I think the ultimate result being that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And I ask you this morning, do these verses not show to us the heart of Jesus? His desire for us to be with him, for him to be with us, is this not inspiring? You know, two become one through marriage, and we become one with him through the Spirit. Think of the closeness of marriage. This goes beyond closeness. Think of the relationship, the power, the sharing of the attributes of God. Dare I say this morning that John 3:16 was only the beginning? That this is the point? This is the culmination? The grand finale? You know, my wife and I just returned from a trip to Rocky Mountain National Park. I love to go to the mountains because, you know, they're just awe-inspiring. They make me think of the magnificence of God and my own insignificance. The mountains make me think of that verse, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? It seems that the natural mind seeks to be inspired, craves some sort of inspiration beyond the mundane routines of life. I think that's one reason we go to the mountains. It's as if our human minds inherently know that we were made from dust and to dust we shall return. And in the meantime, we seek bigger and better. We seek a loftier plane. We go to the oceans to be inspired. We go to the mountains to be inspired, to see the beauty of our world. But the beauty of the world just hammers home our insignificance. It puts us in our place. You know, I can understand Jane Austen, the always celebrated English novelist, who, in comparing us to the beauty and permanence of nature, said, "What are men to rocks and mountains?" As we reflect upon these precious truths, in John 17, we can glory in the cry, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? We know that God made us a little lower than the angels and yet crowned us with glory and honor. Is not our union with God loftier and more noble and more inspiring than the mountains and the oceans? I wonder how the writings of the celebrated English novelist would change had she realized that we have been crowned with glory and honor. These verses elevate us. John Denver, in his blockbuster hit Rocky Mountain High, talked of a man who came to the mountains and found a key to every door. A man who was born in his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. Can this Rocky Mountain High rival the spiritual high experienced by the believer who is one with the Creator of the mountains? Is the Rocky Mountain High sustainable? It's not for me. The cool mountain air and the lofty grandeur of the snow-capped mountain peaks is but a fond memory as I return to the hot, humid plains of Kansas. But the precious truths of John 17, they remain with me. Have we not found the key to every door? We've certainly been given the keys to heaven. We certainly know the one who has the keys of hell and of death. The lyrics continue with, but the string's already broken, he doesn't really care. Is not the tie that bound us to our former life broken, severed? Do we care? Do we look back with longing on those things of which we are now ashamed? Have we not turned from darkness to light? Are we not bound to one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all? Is this not in itself inspiring? John Muir, the naturalist, the famous naturalist, said, "The mountains are calling and I must go." Has God not called us? Must we not go? Are we not going? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me and I call them out, said Jesus. Called us out from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Called us out from our former way of life which led to death. Our former way of life, the dreariness of which caused us to seek inspiration in the first place. Through Christ, we live life on a higher plane. We don't have to go visit and then return to the mundane. Is this not inspiring? The naturalist John Muir also said, "You are not in the mountains, the mountains are in you." And I thought, ooh, well, that's profound. However, the Christian has something much more superior. We are in God and God is in us. Is this not inspiring? Did not Paul say in Colossians 3:3, your life is hid with Christ in God? It is said that man can climb to the highest summits, but he cannot dwell there long. You no sooner get to the top of the mountain than you have to descend from whence you came due to storms and lightning and thin air incompatible with life. With Christians, however, our dwelling place is with God Most High. As the hymn writer said, refuge and fortress for all who trust, no safer pasture for men of dust. Neath wings and feathers of holy Lord, no greater comfort can he afford. The secret place of God Most High, the shadow of our mighty King, the dwelling place where angels cry is where our praise will forever ring. Is this not inspiring? William Shakespeare said, our peace shall stand as firm as Rocky Mountains. However, the Christian's peace isn't in the mountains. Good thing is they shall one day melt with fervent heat, and the mountains and their peace will not be found. Our peace is in the eternal God. Our peace flows like a river, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Is this not superior? Is this not inspiring? Is this not worth musing on? Should this not occupy our thoughts? Does this not sustain us? Does this not give meaning to our lives? John 14 begins in verse 20 with, I ask not only on behalf of these disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. The prayer then continues, his prayer for us. Let them all be one. Let them be in union with us. The glory you gave me, I gave them. We see here that the King of the world wants to unselfishly share his glory with us. What can I say about this? I mean, how can I respond to this? His further desire and his concluding request is that they may be one even as we are one, that they may be made perfect in one. This is not only the perseverance of the saints, but the perfection of the saints. This was his prayer for unity of his followers. Like, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. The desire of his for our union with God the Father and with God the Son and with God the Holy Spirit is not the most unselfish, loving thing I've ever heard of. It's also unfathomable. With Jesus' death on the cross was an act of pure and selfish love, but this is his desire. This desire comes from within, and it reveals his heart. He wants us to be not just in heaven for eternity, but assimilated, incorporated. If you think it's impossible to grasp the Trinity being three in one, try millions, if not billions, in one. Yet it's become a reality, for we read in 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. The occasion for this prayer was his impending resurrection and our subsequent indwelling by the Holy Spirit. He said earlier in verse 11, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. While I was with them, I kept them in your name. He knew that persecution would be forthcoming. He said in the 15th chapter that a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. A novelist named John Beck recently wrote a book detailing the crimes of China's Xi Jinping. It was titled, Those Who Should Be Seized Should Be Seized. The title came from a speech Jinping gave at a party meeting. In the book, the author said, and I quote, manifestations of ethnic or religious identity were cast as the three evils, separatism, religious extremism, and terrorism, end quote. In other words, not tolerance of diverse populations, but erasure of them. The mention of religious extremism brought to mind the extreme right-wing label the mayor of Seattle recently called a Christian concert in the park after Antifa threw sticks and glass bottles and water balloons filled with urine at those who were in attendance. The mayor of Seattle called out not Antifa, not the attackers, not the provocateurs, not the ones clad in black military garb with masks covering their faces and helmets on their heads, but rather he calls out the concert goers as extreme right wingers. The Southern Poverty Law Center just added Focus on the Family to their list of hate groups, to which the Family Research Council is also a member. Said Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito in July of 23, quote, the problem that looms is not just indifference to religion, It's not just ignorance about religion. There's also growing hostility to religion, or at least the traditional religious beliefs that are contrary to the new moral code that is ascendant in some sectors. Jesus said, indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you thinks he is offering service to God. And I wonder, is that hour not here with Muslims calling Christians infidels, which gives them license to burn and behead and otherwise kill because they do not bow to Allah? Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world hates you. So Jesus leaves us with these tremendous truths to inspire and to sustain. If you remember my message on songs from the cell, it was said is that song is the conduit by which the soul's night of darkness is ignited with hope and deliverance. Perhaps these inspiring verses from John 17, these unassailable and timeless truths, are what give rise to the songs in the first place. You may sing because you're happy, and you may sing because you're free, and these timeless truths sustain us as he gives himself to thee. And of course, the munificence of our Lord expressed in his desire to have us in union with him is in contrast to the miserly, insecure, vindictive human despots that we are familiar with today, such as Putin of Russia, Xi Jinping of China, human potentates who hoard power and consecrate glory and spread blame. Alex Navalny criticized Putin and Kremlin leadership, which gave them license to poison him with a nerve agent. And after surviving that, he was tried and sent to an Arctic prison colony known as the Polar Wolf, the highest level of isolation from the world, whereupon he died a mysterious death shortly after his arrival. Jimmy Lai, the newspaper owner and eloquent champion of freedom in Hong Kong, called out Chinese leader Xi Jinping, which gave Xi Jinping license to arrest Jimmy, who was charged and convicted of sedition and collusion, and he remains in prison to this day. In contrast, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords desires to share his unapproachable glory with us as he prays, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Let them all be one. Let them be in union with us, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, that they may be with me where I am. It's not just these tremendous truths that Jesus leaves us with to inspire and sustain. In John 14, he prays, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You know him because he dwells with you and he will be in you. Another blessing of the unity he seeks on our behalf. Oneness with God. How inspiring is that? I cannot explain it, but truly, is this unity not enough to occupy our minds and our thoughts? To inspire us? In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am you may be also, and you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus declared, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. In other words, if you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. I wonder if you could have heard a pin drop when he said that. I can imagine Jesus looking over at him like, are you serious? And he said, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Don't you know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" And then later Jesus prays, "Let them all be one. Let them be in union with us, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them." He prayed that they may be with me where I am, and I ask, where is he? He's in the Father, and the Father's in him. So Jesus says, let them be in union with us. You know, the Bible tells us we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. The Bible tells us we have an advocate that sits at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible tells us that we have an advocate that ever lives to make intercession for us. So in this passage, Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. Jesus said in verse 6, I have revealed your real self to the men you gave me from the world. And in verse 9, he says, I have a request to make for them. And in verse 11, he says, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, that they can be made one, that they can be made holy by your truth. Holy denotes a separation from all that is sinful unto God. It's the truth that sets us free from the world system handed down by the father of lies. The world not only asks for tolerance, it demands worship. The book I mentioned earlier tells the story of three people in China sent to a re-education camp. They were told, from now on, Jinping is your God. And if that isn't enough, Jesus continues on with the prayer that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. The love of God is greater still than tongue or pen can tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. And he finishes by saying that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know, when Jesus hung on that cross, his desire was that the Father forgive them, for they know not what they do. In spite of the evil, in spite of the hate, in spite of the rejection, he continues to draw men and women to him in love because he is long-suffering for us. And I tell you, does this not bring the hope in us to life? Russian dissident and concert pianist Pavel Kushner's outspoken support of Ukraine and his anti-Putin views landed him in a Russian gulag where he died of hunger before he was even brought to trial. His mother, with whom he was estranged due to his anti-government views, said her son has shown a superficial grasp of politics, which is why, she said, I'm very sorry that he gave up his life apparently for nothing at all. Not so with us. Not so with those who came before us. Not so with those who come after us. Seeing these things are true, how then ought we to live in holiness and godliness as we await the coming day? For us, death is the grand beginning. Whatever befalls us, we have a grand vision, the hope of glory, of being one with our Creator and Redeemer. Let them all be one. Let them be in union with us. The glory you gave me, I gave them, that they may be with me where I am and that they may behold my glory. The love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. Whatever dark days lie ahead, we have this blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Truly, this is a foretaste of glory divine. Back last August, there was a representative named Seth Moulton who served as a U.S. Marine captain in the Iraqi war, and he disparaged Senator J.D. Vance's service as a corporal in Iraq. He said, quote, he's a Marine Corps veteran. I mean, a combat correspondent. He didn't do much fighting, and he doesn't exactly uphold Marine values. A retired U.S. Marine Lieutenant Colonel replied, the uniform of a Marine is deliberately devoid of distinctions that highlight individual roles or military occupational specialties. The prominence of the eagle, globe, and anchor over the Marine's name is a powerful symbol of this unity. It reflects a collective identity that transcends individual roles. If you suggest that anyone in that family of fighters, each of whom earned the right to wear the globe and eagle, doesn't uphold Marine values, you owe an apology not only to that Marine, but to the entire Marine Corps. Unity, collective identity, transcendence. The world makes a bigger deal of this than we as Christians do. In our post-Christian society, God has been replaced with the preeminence of our needs and desires. Note the LA riots. We've lost this veneration, this adoration of something greater than ourselves. There are millions from faith and love estranged who need to recapture the hope of better things and whose hearts by the grace of Christ can change. I think it's okay if you don't understand these verses. Let them all be one. Just as you, Father, are in union with me and I am with you, let them be in union with us so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me so they may be with me just as we are. I in union with them so they may be perfectly unified. It's okay not to understand them, I think. Just as God's thoughts are not our thoughts are not God's thoughts. I think it's okay if you don't understand it, but think about it. Daydream about it. Ponder these verses, and their meaning will begin and will continue to unfold like the petals of a flower in bloom, and they will inspire you for as long as you live. A progressive revelation of God's heart to ours. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Be inspired as you go. Amen. Father, we pray this morning for a greater understanding of these verses. They reveal the deep, deep love of Jesus, the shallowness of our own hearts and minds. We desire, Father, to have a greater understanding that we can appropriate this love and this oneness and this unity. And no matter where we live, whether it be in the plains or the mountains or the oceans or darkest Africa, we have this progressive revelation of the unity that we have in Christ and in God and with each other, that we're inspired by it and that we relish it and that we share it with others. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.